So while the blood is running warm in your veins, you wanna hear me say thank you. Of the Lord for granted, what He done for us. He gave us food to eat, clothes on our backs, a roof over our head. That's enough to lift a hand and tell the Lord, thank you. Good to you. Help me say thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
A lot of us got so much to be thankful for.
Thank you.
He blessed some of you with cars or a home.
Thank
and you know you had bad credit.
Thank
you ought to open up your mouth right now and tell the Lord.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
Good morning. It's time now for Second Union Baptist Church radio broadcast with Reverend Joseph Martin. The church is located 6436 Old Baton Rouge Highway, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71302. You can phone 318-445-4875. And now, here is Second Union Baptist Church radio broadcast already in progress.
Those who attend Bible study know that the text that I read in Philippians, the second chapter, verses 12 through 16, was nothing more than the Apostle Paul being braggadocious, if you will, about those believers who were in Philippi. Paul commended this body of believers, praise God for their efforts to support him while he was in prison, and also because of their continued efforts in spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. In other words, they were zealots. They were zealous for Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
In his letter to his spiritual son, Titus here, who he leaves on the Isle of Crete, Paul writes and provides instructions to Titus for three reasons. If you go back and read those three chapters,
yes, sir.
Titus, there are three reasons why he wrote this letter to Titus. One was to warn against the false teachers. Two, to set in order the organization of the churches and the behavior of the believers. And thirdly, to encourage Titus to proclaim the message of sound doctrine. Yes, and as a part of that sound doctrine was the return of Jesus Christ. Yes. Let's look at what Paul writes in chapter 2, verse 13 and 14 again. Look what he says. He says, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem. That word redeem just means to set free, to deliver us from all iniquity. Yes. Praise God. And to purify unto himself a peculiar. The Greek word for that used peculiar means special. Turn to your neighbor. Say, neighbor.
Neighbor.
Oh, neighbor.
Neighbor.
I know you didn't know it.
But
you are special.
Amen.
A special.
Amen.
A special people.
Yes, sir.
Zealous of good works. Amen. Paul is talking about people having a zeal to work for God. We go to the Webster Dictionary. Webster defines zeal as eagerness in pursuing any course of object. He talks about an inordinate interest. He's talking about a fervor, praise God. In other words, someone who is eager to do something. And a zealot, praise God, is nothing more than a person who shows zeal, especially excessive zeal. I'm talking about a fanatic, if you will. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Way back when I was a young boy, we sung songs, and we still sing those same songs today about zealous. Can I bring your memory one of them? One of the songs that they used to sing when I was a little bitty boy, and we still sing it today, and that was all about a zealot. It says, I'm on the battlefield,
yes, sir,
for my Lord.
I
promised him that I would serve him till I die. I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. In other words, whoever penned that song was letting the world know that everything that I do, I'm going to work hard for my Lord. Amen. That was back in the days back when. But now, amen, we also sing a song about some zealous today. Amen. Y'all know the song? I'm sold out. And my mind is made up. Look to your neighbor. Say, neighbor, I don't know about you, but I'm sold out. And my mind is made up. You see, Jesus came to this world, praise God, to do the works of his Father and to encourage others. I'm talking about believers to engage in doing the things God wants them to do. He would have us to serve him with eagerness and enthusiasm and not with apathy, praying God, and not with indifference. Praise God. We see a lot of zeal around us everywhere today in the world. Somebody say, well, give me some of it. Praise God. Many people are zealous about sports. Amen. Certain sports. Some people are zealous about certain hobbies. Some people are zealous about their television show. Amen. Others have a zealous greed for material things. Praise God. In other words, they love stuff. Amen. Still others have an intense zealous for a cause. Praise God. Almost to the point that they will commit acts of terrorism, which will result in murder, and in suicide. But the question that I have this morning, where are the zealots for love? Where are the zealots for helpfulness? Where are the zealots for service? You see, Jesus Christ came into the world to choose, equip, and to motivate a special people who would be eager to engage in doing things, praise God, for the benefit of God and for the benefit of mankind.
Yeah.
Amen. So as we look at our text and as we, praise God, look at this thought, I thought it would be apropos. Amen. Since we have gone into, not gone, but we have come into a new year.
Yeah.
Praise God. And we have asked God to take us to higher heights and to deeper depths in Him. Amen. So I sort of look at this message as a motivational message. Praise God for the saints of God. Look at my, look at me, look at me, look at me. Amen. I sort of look at this sermon. Amen. Bring it down just a little bit. Amen. As a motivational sermon for you and I today. Amen. Look at your neighbor. Say, neighbor.
Although
the pastor may say some things that step on my toe, this is a motivational sermon for the day. Amen. Because if we are zealous for Christ, it reflects some things about us in our life. Amen. I want to hit about five things that it reflects in our life, because the very first thing that it does, if we are zealots for Christ and for doing of God good works, praise God, the very first thing that it does, it validates the genuineness of our faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. It validates the genuineness of our faith in Jesus Christ. You see, if we truly have faith in Jesus Christ, we will, praise God, eagerly work for Him. Amen. How many of y'all have read the book of James?
Amen.
Amen. Most theologians would tell you that the book of James is called the book of practical religion.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Because James is very practical. James doesn't, he doesn't use a lot of highfalutin words. He doesn't use a whole lot of hidden phrases. James just comes straight out and he just tells you like it is. Can I give you an example? Praise God. You see, James provides a number of tests by which it is impossible for us to validate the truthfulness, the sincerity-ness, and the genuineness of our faith. Praise God. If you don't mind putting on that marquee, put on there James chapter 2, verses 14 through verse 17. And as those words are up there, I want you to look at what James does in here. James make this thing practical. He make this thing simple for us. And look what the question that he asks in verse 14. James say, what do it profit, my brother? Though a man say he has faith, praise God, and have not works, he asks the question, can faith save him? Amen. Now, he doesn't just stop there. Look at what James go on to do. James gives us, completes his thought process. And he goes on in verse 15 and 16, and he asks a question. He says, if a brother or a sister be naked and destitute of food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, amen, be ye warmed and filled. Hallelujah, boy, somebody gonna catch this in a minute. Notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, he said, what doeth it profit? In other words, what James is saying, Praise God that if you have a brother or a sister who is in need, amen, and he has already given you the wherewithal to meet that need. And you know how us church folk, we tell them to go on and we're going to pray for you. And he's asking you, say, now, what profit that person? Amen. If you have the wherewithal to help them and you tell them to go on off and pray. If you go off and pray, you can pray that God has enough faith to take care of it, but he's already put the take care in your pocket. Amen. So he asked the question on verse 17. Look what he says. He answers it. He says, even so faith, if it has not worked, amen, is what? Did I say that in your Bible?
Yes, sir.
Did it say that it is dead?
Yes, sir.
Amen. And what the last three words on it said? What? Being alone.
Yeah.
Amen. I'm trying to tell us we have moved into 2014. Praise God. And if we want to be zealots for God's good works, amen, we are going to have to pick up the baton and we are going to have to act like God acts, because it shows and it validates the genuineness of our faith in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. We look in Jesus' Sermon on the Mount and he speaks about the influence of an idea citizen of the kingdom. We talked about this a little bit in Sunday school. Praise God. One of my marquee texts found in Matthew 5:16, when he says, let your light so shine before men that they may see what? Your good works. I'm talking about God works, because you see, good works are God's work. Amen. That they may glorify the Father. Praise God, amen, which is in heaven. Hallelujah, amen. They're going to look at your good works. So if we are going to be zealous for God's good work, praise God, it validates the genuineness of our faith in Jesus Christ. Can I do a little exercise right now? Amen. Y'all don't mind? Y'all going to help me preach this sermon today. Amen. Can you turn to your neighbor and ask your neighbor, say, neighbor, is your faith genuine? Is your faith genuine? Praise God. So what you just said, you asked them that. Now tell them to answer you that. Your faith genuine? Say yes or no. All right. If it's genuine, that means the next time you see somebody who needs something and God has already given you the wherewithal to take care of it, you're not going to tell them, I'm going to pray for you. Hallelujah. And send them on about their business. Praise God. If he didn't already put it in your pocket and they need it, now let me back up now. Amen. Somebody say, well, wait a minute. I know where you're going. Hallelujah. Maybe I ought to hit that one in my second point. Maybe I ought to hit it in my second point. Let me hit it in my second point. Amen. Hallelujah. Let me do that. Y'all going to see where I'm going here in a minute. Hallelujah. So if he's already given you the wherewithal, amen, don't you go tell somebody to go off somewhere, send that brother or that sister away, amen, when you got it in your pocket and you could take care of it. Hallelujah. You know the Bible tells us the love of money is the root of all evil.
Yeah.
Amen. The hardest thing to get away from man is that money.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. They'll give you all of the handshakes in the world. Hallelujah. They'll give you all of the old clothes that they have. Look, Sister Lee, they'll even give you an old car, amen, that they don't need anymore. But brother, is something wrong when it comes to somebody going in their pocket? I don't know what it is. And pulling out one of them dead presidents and putting it in somebody else's hand. There's something about that. Hallelujah. So it will show the genuineness. It validates your faith in Jesus. But the second thing that it does, amen, it expresses the nature of our Heavenly Father. Somebody, we say that term, God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. You see, the God that we serve is not a cold and impassive and unmoved and unconcerned God in some distant place out there somewhere. He is a doer of good, and he is a giver of good, praise God, to the sons and daughters of men. Somebody say, how do you know that? I mean, in the ninth chapter of the book of John, amen, Jesus and his disciples, praise God, were going into the temple, and Jesus just happened to see a man, praise God, who was blind. Amen. His disciples asked him a question. Y'all remember this. Anybody that went to the citywide revival know where I'm getting ready to go. Praise God. Those disciples asked him, said, now, who sinned? Did he sin? His parents sinned. Amen. See, they were trying to go back to the Mosaic law, praise God, and which said that if some type of misfortune had fallen on somebody, it was because they had obviously committed some type of sin. Amen. Y'all remember Job? Y'all remember when Job got in trouble? Amen. And not of his own volition, but praise God, that and all of those three friends of his, Elphad, Bildad, and Zophad, they came and they tried to tell Job, said, Job, you must have done something wrong for all of this stuff to be falling on you. And Job in his own heart knew that he hadn't done nothing wrong. Praise God. But look what Jesus said in John, the ninth chapter, verses 3 and 4. Jesus answered, he said, neither has this man sinned, nor his parents. But look what he said. He said, but that the works of God should be made manifest in his life. Hallelujah. He said, I must work the work of him that sent me. Praise God, while it is day. He said, because nighttime is coming and no man will be able to work. Amen. I almost feel like celebrating right now, but I got a couple other things I want to say. Praise God. You see, Jesus went about doing the work of his Father. Hallelujah. And he wasn't concerned as to who sinned. You see, that's the problem with us today. Amen. We always concerned about what somebody has done. But now I can understand when I look at in the world today why some folk get concerned, because like Jesus answered those disciples, said, neither this man sinned nor his parents. Praise God. You know what that tells me? Amen. Sometimes we fall into predicaments based upon what we do. I heard somebody over on that side. Let me get back over here on this side today. Sometimes we fall in predicaments based upon what we do. I still didn't hear nobody over here. I hear the center. Man, y'all good. Let me try that one more time over here. Sometimes we fall in predicaments based upon what we do. Somebody said, what you talking about? Amen. God didn't give you a job. He give you a paycheck. And when payday come around, instead of you paying your bills, you going up to the casino. You going to the gambling table. You're taking all of the money that God has blessed you with. Praise God, so that you can pay your bills. Hallelujah. You go take it and sit on somebody's table talking about throwing a 7 or an 11. Or sitting there talking about rattling somebody's hand, pulling a lever so that you can get one of those things, cherry, cherry, cherry. Banana, banana, banana. So sometimes we put ourselves in some predicaments. Amen. So I can understand why we can be sort of cautious, amen, about wanting to help somebody. But if we're going to be zealous of God's good work, praise God, when we see a brother or a sister who is in need, amen, God has given us the wherewithal to take care of that need, we ought to go ahead and do it. Amen. He
were zealous. Let me get on to my third point here because I feel like celebrating. And I don't want to get ahead of myself. Amen. So we see the first ring, praise God, it validates the genuineness of our faith. It expresses, praise God, the nature of our Heavenly Father. And praise God, number three, it imitates the pattern of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The term Christian means to be Christ-like. And each of us are to imitate the pattern of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I remember in the 10th chapter, amen, of the book of Acts, when the Spirit had spoken to Cornelius, even though Cornelius was an Italian, and we know at that time, at least they thought that salvation wasn't for the Gentiles. And at the same time, the Spirit was working with Cornelius, the Spirit was working with Brother Peter. Amen. And showed Peter the sheet that came down. And it had all kinds of animals and stuff on there. And he told him, said, Peter, I want you to take and eat. And of course, you know, Jews didn't eat anything, praise God, that was considered unclean in those days. But he told him to go ahead and eat. Amen. And Peter, not fully understanding what was going on at that time, but when Cornelius came to his house, praise God, the Bible tells me that when he greeted Cornelius, or when Cornelius greeted him, Peter, amen, Cornelius went down to his knees. And Peter had to tell him, don't you get down on your knees, praise God, because I'm a man just like you. Praise God. But one thing that Peter did do, Peter talked about Jesus. Amen. Look at what he said in Acts 10, verse 38. It says, now he talked about how God had anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about what? Doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. And he said, for God was with him. You see, Jesus was tireless, or was a tireless worker in doing God good work, praise God, to and for those whom he came in contact with. Yeah, Jesus was a healer of those that were sick. Amen. Jesus was a teacher of the unlearned and the needy. Jesus was busy at the task of helping men to see, not only physically, but also spiritually. Jesus worked, praise God, to enable people to hear, not only with the ears that sat on the both sides of their head, but praise God, with the ears of their heart. Yeah, Jesus worked, praise God, with great zeal to point people to God. And Jesus continually gave himself to the task of enriching and uplifting those who would permit him to enter into their lives. The only thing that I'm trying to say this morning, praise God, that Jesus went about doing the works, praise God, of his Father. And since he is our Father, we ought to be doing the same thing. I'm talking about doing those great works, those good works. So when we zealously do God's work, we imitate the pattern of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Fourthly, when we are zealous for God's good work, amen, it responds to the Holy Spirit. Amen. You see, the Holy Spirit came into the world on the day of Pentecost. And he came to do a number of things that are tremendous, praise God, to us. They were of tremendous importance. Amen. See, the Holy Spirit came to help us. I'm talking about believers. Amen. Become like Jesus Christ. That's what he came. He came to give us the power so that we can be just like Jesus Christ. Somebody say, how in the world can we be like Jesus Christ? Amen. Jesus Christ walked this earth, and the Bible tells us that he didn't commit one sin. Praise God. So the Holy